Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. This is Gilbert Larson welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. This is now our 20th teaching in a series we have called Come, Let Us Reason Together. That's found in Isaiah chapter 1. Also, this is the 8th in a row that we have done in a teaching that pertains to God being the Alpha and Omega. And we started in tape number 13 showing that God is the author and finisher of our faith, that He begins it, and then He also, He calls Himself the Alpha and the Omega, who is, who was, and is to come. He's not only the beginning and the end, but He is also in the middle. He's there to help us along the way. And this part we're going to go through, we just went through repentance from dead works. That's something we do. But we're going to go through the scriptures that show that God gives faith. All good things come from God, and we know that faith is good. One thing I wanted to read, too, this is a freebie. We're going to do seven proofs, and this is not part of those proofs. Faith is also called a door. I know Jesus is the door, but also faith is a door, and repentance is a key. That's just a conclusion that I've come up with. And this is found in Acts 14:27. And when they had arrived and gathered the church together, they began to report all things that God had done with them and how He had opened a door of faith to the Gentiles. So this and this happened back in Acts 10 with a man named Cornelius who saw a vision and sent for Peter. Peter and the brethren went there, and then the Holy Spirit came on them.
And Peter commanded them to be baptized.
So then they were all baptized. Faith is a door, and repentance is a key. And God has opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Now we're going to start in 2 Thessalonians, and we're going to read chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2. Everybody got their cup of coffee ready and their Bible? Here we go. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified, just as it did also with you, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. People will tell you, you have to have faith and so on, but not all men have faith. Now, all men can repent. It says not all men have faith, but now God commands all men everywhere to repent, to change their minds. And not all men have faith. The next place we're going to read is 2 Peter 1:1, but we'll read the context according to Ivan Panin's 1 through 11. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. You see, they didn't have it down in their heart. They received this faith by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Let me start again. I won't interrupt myself. Let me read all the way through without interruption. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that His divine power is dunamos, like dynamite, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. Now for this very reason, also applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these things be yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these, some have added qualities, for he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about his calling and choosing you. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Listen to what it's saying. You will never stumble if you practice these things. For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you. So these things, there are seven things that total up to eight if you add faith. There are seven things you are to add to your faith. Moral excellence is the first thing, so put faith down on the bottom. It's a foundation truth. So you put moral excellence on top of it, knowledge, and then self-control. Now you get a lot of knowledge, you're going to need some self-control. Perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and that's a phileo love, and on top of all that, agape love. You can make your calling certain when you practice these things, and also you can make an entrance into God's eternal kingdom. All good and precious gifts, don't forget, come from the Father of lights. With him is no variation nor shifting shadow. Next place we're going to look at is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 in particular, but the full context, according to Ivan Panin, is 1 through 13. If we have some time on any of these tapes, I'm going to start talking to you about Ivan Panin and how he proved the Bible to be perfect. And when he looked at the Apocrypha, which are the added books in the Catholic Bible in the middle, the same beautiful number pattern that has been throughout all the 66 books of the Bible was not found in the Apocrypha. This marvelous, beautiful pattern that you find in Genesis and Matthew and so on, every one of the books was not found in the Apocrypha. Now, listen to this one. This is interesting. Isaiah has 66 chapters. The Bible has 66 books. What you find in the last chapter of Isaiah is talked about in the last book of the Bible when you see the new heaven and new earth. And the time about John coming is in the same position in Isaiah. The voice of one crying in the wilderness is exactly the same place it is foretold in the New Testament. But you have to use the original order of the Bible. And we will discuss that also. The Old and New Testament is a little different than what we have in the King James Version. Like it starts off in the New Testament, for instance, the correct order of the scriptures is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, James. Boy, that's a book people like to hide in the back of the Bible, but that actually has an early presence in the scriptures and should be read and understood by all, the book of James. Anyway, we're on to faith. That's just one area. We'll talk some more about Ivan Panin's later on. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. He didn't say Christians, he says sons. I like that word better. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son, there it is again, whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate. And some versions say bastards. You're illegitimate children and not sons, if you do not have discipline. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. And I'm tired of this kid, whack, whack. I'm just teasing. But he disciplines us for our good, so that we may share his holiness. I don't believe God does it like mankind does disciplining. He does it for our good. Sometimes we as parents and our parents and so on disciplined us because he just got fed up. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields a peaceable fruit of righteousness. Therefore, strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Just to reiterate back on Hebrews 12:2, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author, who is the originator, archegon, which means he is the originator, the leader, and the perfecter of our faith. So where does faith come from? It comes from the originator, Jesus. It does not come from us. The next place I want to read is Ephesians 2:8. Pannens recognizes that the context actually starts in 1:15 and goes to 2:10. For this reason, I'm starting in 1:15 of Ephesians. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers. For the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power. There's that dynamite again, dunamios, power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Now, it's a little different word there. That's kratos, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. Among them we too all formerly lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, Even when we were dead in our trespasses, our transgressions made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we would walk in them. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God. Faith comes from God, repentance comes from you. You change your mind, and God gives you faith. Now we're going to do Romans 10, 17, and the context or full thought is 16 to 21. This pretty much jibes with New American Standard, but it combines two of theirs into one. And we're going to read 16 to 21 of Romans 10. However, they did not all heed the good news, for Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report?" So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. But I say, surely they have never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, surely Israel did not know, did they? First Moses says, "I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you." And Isaiah is very bold and says, "I was found by those who did not seek me. I became manifest to those who did not ask for me." But as for Israel, he says, "All the day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people." So faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the word of Christ. So here it says, faith comes from hearing, and that's a word you actually already know. It's a Greek word. Akouo, acoustics, comes from that. So see how much you really know in the Greek language. And hearing from the word of God, and this is the rhema, the written or spoken word of God. In Acts 2:37, when they heard the word of God, they were cut to the heart, and they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent." He didn't tell them to believe. He told them to repent, because you see, faith comes from God. The next place we want to read is Romans 12:3, and the full context is 3 through 21. But mainly verse 3, "For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. If service, in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness, let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality." That's philoxenos, lovers of strangers. "Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice, and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation. Never pay back evil for evil to anyone. Respect what is right in the sight of all men. If possible, so far as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Remember this agapeo love, you're to love your enemy. It's not a fuzzy, warm feeling, but if he is hungry, feed him. That's how you love him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Well, actually, you're hoping for his salvation, God willing. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Back to verse 3. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And remember, it said not all have the faith. And we know faith comes from God. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from the rhema, the written or spoken word of God. And here is number 7. This is Ephesians 6, 23 and 24. But in particular, verse 23, peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ with incorruptible love. Boy, time sure flies when you're having fun, doesn't it? Anyway, I thought I'd spend just a little time and tell you about Ivan Panin. He immigrated from Russia, my mother's country where she was born. He immigrated in 1882. He had graduated from Harvard. Now, he knew the Hebrew and Greek and Aramaic languages, and his friend Tolstoy suggested that when he reads, he should read the Bible in its original languages. And so he, while he was going to Harvard, I understand that he took the Greek language. And being a master mathematician and the Greek letters and the Hebrew letters all equaling a number, unlike any other language in the world, our language, our English language, we have Aramaic numbers, 1, 2, and 3. And the Romans, they had the Roman numerals, but the Greek and the Hebrew, their letters equaled a number. Now, he was a nihilist, and he actually taught atheism, but by reading the Bible and seeing this pattern, he actually had a conversion to Christ at a young age. He saw this beautiful number pattern flowing throughout the Bible. Now, he looked at different writings like Socrates and Plato. He even took different Bibles like the Mormon Bible, and the Jehovah's Witness have their version too, or their writings, and he looked at them, and there was absolutely no pattern. It was mishmash the closer he got. Only the Bible, every word, every passage, every book, there is this beautiful numbering system, and we're not talking about the Da Vinci Code. That is something totally different, I should say. I'll be kind, but I think it's blasphemous. But this is not. This is the Bible, and it proves the Bible. And you can take all the different authors, and the Bible's been written over 1,500-year time period in two different languages, and the same patterns pervade the whole of the Bible, Old and New Testament alike. Those patterns do not show up in the Apocrypha, in those five, I think it's five books that the Catholic Bible adds. Those books are just like Plato and Socrates. They are not God's divine handwriting. Anyway, time is again skipped by, and I must say, to end this session, may God lead you into all truth, and may the truth of God set you free.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. If you have any questions or comments, please call me, Andy, at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. That's Andy at 360-600-6726 or Gilbert at 480-205-3346. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God."